You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Est-ce qu'il y a faute sur Bale? Il est passé de toute façon. Il résiste à la faute de Bartra.
La punt is Alex Dunn.
Yes, hello and welcome to La Punt with me, Alex Dunn. The final punt of Euro 2016. Where on earth has it gone? Seems just a few weeks ago that we were so optimistic for England's chances, and then, well, and then Iceland happened, along with a whole host of other things. But there's plenty to remain upbeat for, because we've got a fascinating final coming up on Sunday evening. The hosts, France, have made it to the final, and they take on Portugal, who hadn't even won a game until they came up against the Welsh. But a fantastic podcast ahead. Firstly, here we've got some fantastic insight for you from our team of expert pundits. We've got a view from the Portugal camp, a view from the France camp, a moderately impartial view in Derek McGovern, as much as he can be impartial. We've got a country file coming up, the final country file that you'll hear. That's on the Italians, who of course bowed out the quarter-final stage to Germany. A bit of something for everybody then on the final punt of 2016. Not the final punt of 2016, but the final punt of Euro 2016 at least. We're going to start by hearing from myself and Andrew Gibney. I caught up with Andrew this morning. He is currently on holiday in Greece, which is rather nice, isn't it? But he offered his thoughts, as he has done throughout the competition so far, on the French side. You're going to hear from him shortly. Do excuse the wind, if you pardon the expression. Quite windy in Greece, it turns out. But you can hear him just fine. So Andrew's thoughts on France against Portugal coming up in just a moment. After this, joined by myself, offers some good insight, and there's plenty more to come as well. So after you've heard that, I'll be back to give you a little link into the next piece. But first things first, here is Andrew Gibney on the French chances in the final of Euro 2016.
Live betting commentary on every second of every game at the Euros, only on InPlay Radio at William Hill.
First things first, good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm very well. It's a poolside in Greece.
I was going to say, it's all right for some, isn't it?
It's not bad, is it?
I was going to say, I'm stuck in a studio in Leeds, and you're there in Greece, sunning it up and getting to talk about football. It's not a bad life, is it?
It's not a bad life at all.
We'll just mention France, obviously coming up against Portugal on Sunday. We'll start by looking at their semi-final win over Germany, because... Yeah. They're a side, France, aren't they, who, through the tournament, have sort of got the results, maybe without the performances, and it's taken a while for things to piece together, but they seem to be finding their form at the right time, and you really can't argue with either of their last two performances. Yes, Iceland were there to be beaten, but they did it, and they did it comprehensively. And against Germany as well, even though Germany had much more of the ball in that game, France looks very, very dangerous going forward, and they're deserved favourites against Portugal, aren't they?
I think deservedly. I think being host helps as well. But you look at the way, I think in Germany we had maybe two more shots than France through the whole game. And you look at the possession Germany had, especially in the first half, with us bombarding that the final third. But they didn't really create that many clear open chances. I think the defence has been the worry for France throughout. I thought they held up really well, and that to a man everyone was great. You look at Samuel Umtiti, only his second game I thought was absolutely superb. Koscielny was a leader at the back, and Lloris made two really, really important saves when it mattered. So even the weakest part of the team that everyone's worried about stepped up, and then the attack, unlike Germany, took their chances. So you have to really respect that. And I think the first half, everyone was quite worried that Germany are going to steamroll this, but I think they held on really well and really get that goal just before half time. To me, it probably was a penalty. Schweinsteiger's arms probably shouldn't be up there. But that just knocked the stuffing out of Germany. You could see, even in the second half, when they were starting to try and push forward, they didn't have that same conviction as they did in the first. And then France went and got the second. And, yeah, a phenomenal performance from every man on that pitch.
Well, you mentioned Umtiti coming in and playing very well, and it seems that everything that Deschamps has done in this tournament has sort of worked, and he's made a few fairly big decisions. Obviously Griezmann and Pogba didn't play in the second game, and he has mixed things up a bit, and his hand's almost been forced with the centre-back situation. But Umtiti's come in and he immediately looks more solid than Rami, who had looked a little bit shaky, hadn't he, early on. It just seems that everything he's touching is turning to gold at the minute. They've had a bit of a charmed passage through, haven't they, France? But even playing the likes of, let's say, Moussa Sissoko ahead of N'Golo Kanté, had very, very different seasons at domestic level, yet he's got sort of the round pegs in round holes, if you like, which a lot of countries haven't had at this tournament.
Yeah, I think Moussa Sissoko is a great example, is that because Premier League fans, especially Newcastle fans, see him and think, God, why is he even in that squad? But Deschamps trusts him, and Sissoko trusts the love that Deschamps gives him, and this is a different player altogether. And even like Kanté is an amazing season, but you could see where he didn't quite fit in that 11, and rather than trying to squeeze him in, as some other nations do, I'm kind of thinking towards teams like England, he's like, no, I'm going to pick the best 11 to fit what I want to do and how we're playing. And Sissoko's a great option for that, because it gives them that energy and drive that maybe they don't have sometimes. And yeah, he's run his heart out for Deschamps. And even Umtiti, and Titi's played over 130 games in Ligue 1, so he's not like an unknown, but to have the trust to put him in there for his second, first and second cap in the knockout stages shows you they all believe in him and he believes in them, and you can see that coming through the team, definitely.
Absolutely. They come up against the Portugal sides, who are, I want to say they're hard to like, but that's probably just down to the way that they play. They are typically hard to break down. Going forward, they just seem to get the job done, don't they? And the final is priced up with Portugal at 7-2 as we record this. We're recording this on Saturday morning, so prices may have changed by the time that you're listening to this. But Portugal 7-2, the draw is 2-1, and France are 21-20. That's to win in 90 minutes. To lift the trophy, Portugal are 15-8, and France are 4-9. You kind of know how this is going to play out, don't you, Andrew? It's going to be France doing, you'd imagine, the majority of the pressing. It's whether they can take their chances and whether, as we mentioned earlier, their defence can hold up against the likes of Ronaldo and Nani, who offer a bit of a different threat than that they've had in well, most of the tournament, let's be honest. Which way do you see the final going, Andrew?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a really, really close, balanced game. I think both teams play a really similar style. They have grind-out results. Like, France were not the aggressors against Germany, and Portugal had moments against Wales where they looked a bit vulnerable, but Portugal are finding a way to win. And I think that's the difference between this Portugal team and the one that we lost 2004 and have lost in other semi-finals. It's not pretty, it's not that Portuguese style you used to expect, but it's more effective and they're getting the job done. And Ronaldo's sort of, maybe not playing great, but he's making sure his team doesn't lose. So they're a really sort of attractive prospect. But France on home soil in Paris, the crowd behind them, because they were calling the game the glory. They saw that as their sort of their big final, and now they just have to finish the job. So you don't want them to be overconfident. But yeah, it's a fascinating, so many interesting matchups. I do worry a little bit about the amount of crosses that Portugal got into the box against Wales. Can Patrice Evra and the defence deal with that? That they're going to come under a lot of pressure down the wings that maybe didn't get against Germany because they're a bit more narrow. So that's maybe something to look at. But yeah, it's really close to call. I'm being a little bit biased. If I hope that France can just edge it and get that result.
Okay, so France maybe just to nick it. I mean, there's some fascinating markets on our website. I'd advise anyone to go and have a look, because there's some really good enhanced odds. So the likes of Griezmann to score, France to win, 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, pushed out to 9-2 from 4s. If you think it's going to go the other way, Ronaldo to score, Portugal to win in 90 minutes, that was 9-2, that's now 6-1, which is massive. I've actually been a bit surprised with how Portugal haven't been as reliant on Ronaldo as maybe everybody thought they would be. But there's a bit of value there for everybody. We'll touch on Griezmann, Andrew, because he has been, well, he's very likely to be player of the tournament, barring something pretty sensational from somebody else in the final. I mean, he's not done anything that anyone didn't know that he was capable of, but in the last couple of seasons, he's really sort of found his feet at Atleti. And now he's doing it on an international stage as well. And he has been pretty lethal, hasn't he? It's hard to think of too many chances that he's fluffed, really. He's been pretty deadly in front of goal, hasn't he?
He has been, and he started quite slowly as well. And Deschamps has sort of used him coming in off the wing in the past. And he's sort of found that against Ireland, if he played him behind Giroud, it gives Griezmann the chance to play through the middle and really be that player he has been for Atleti. And you're seeing that now with the goals he's scoring. He's been phenomenal. He's found form at the right time. There's no point in turning up, being great in the group stage and then disappearing. When he got the goal against Albania, but he wasn't great. He looked frustrated and annoyed against Switzerland. But then against Ireland, then Iceland, and against Germany, he's just been absolutely fantastic. And I think you're right. If he plays well and France win, I think he has to be part of the tournament. He's done it when it's counted, and he's the new national hero. I'm kind of a bit gutted I didn't get him on the back of my France jersey now.
Who have you got out of interest, Andrew?
I've got Payet, and okay. He's been crap since I got it. So. I was going to say, can thank me for that, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because Payet was the golden boy in the first two games, wasn't he? And he's not really gone off the boil, but he's kind of done what he did for West Ham. He's sublime in some games for West Ham. In other games, not anonymous by any means, but just a little bit quieter, whereas Griezmann has been pretty consistent. I think France are fortunate in that Payet was superb for the first two games, and since then Griezmann's been fantastic. They do need one player to really step up, but that said, they do have the quality all over the pitch, don't they? I mean, Pogba has been sort of purring through the tournament, hasn't he, without being absolutely at his destructive best. You get the impression there still could be another gear to come from him.
Yeah, definitely could be. I think that those three of those sort of players, you might get 20 minutes a game out of any one of them. If it comes together like it did against Iceland and the way Griezmann got it against Ireland, it just takes one of them. And I think how good Payet did, then people started concentrating on him, which leaves a little bit more space for Griezmann. Then if you overmark him, you're leaving space for Payet or Pogba to come through. So if you're making a defensive plan, it's so hard to, which one do you sort of prioritise? And there's so many weapons around that pitch that can really trouble you. And I think Giroud has had an excellent tournament as well. He gets so much stick for what he does, but he's so integral to how that attack works and sort of takes away the aerial side, the defenders look after him, and then it leaves space for Griezmann and Payet. So yeah, I think if Portugal do try and sort of man-mark Griezmann, Pai is the one that will take up those spaces and really look to, maybe he can end the tournament on a high as well, which would be good for the whole nation.
Pai is 14-5 to score any time, 7-1 to score first. Right then, Andrew, if I'm pinning you down for a selection in this game, a correct score, what's it going to be?
I was thinking before, and I think I'm heading towards, I usually say 2-1, I'm going to go for 3-1 to France. It'll be similar to the 98 final where they get two goals and Portugal get one and go for it and nick one on the break second half. So I'm going to go 3-1. I can definitely see both teams scoring, especially the way Portugal from a set piece or from a cross, and France to hit on the break, and with Griezmann and Payet and Giroud and Pogba if he comes good as well. So yeah, I can definitely see goals in this game.
Okay. It's 13-10 for both teams to score. France 3-1 is a massive 20-1 if you fancy that. But as I said, so many markets to get your teeth stuck into. Do check it on the William Hill website. Fantastic talking to you, Andrew. Enjoy the game.
Absolute
on
pleasure.
Sunday, and enjoy the rest of your holiday as well.
Thank you very much.
And no doubt we'll catch up with you soon.
Definitely. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
C'est Euros on Inplay Radio at William Hill. La France est la meilleure équipe de foot dans le monde entier. Allez les Bleus!
Allez les Bleus indeed. And that's certainly what Andrew Gibney thinks. Let us know what you think, of course, tweet in at Will Hill in Play with what you fancy in the final. We're going to hear now from Dave Keller and Derek McGovern, of course, the stalwarts of the Punt podcast. Interesting to see what DK and Derek make of the final. I'll hand over to them now and I'll be back in just a moment.
You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The enhanced odds, Cristiano Ronaldo to score and Portugal to win in 90 minutes, was 9-2, enhanced to 6-1. Antoine Griezmann to score and France to win in 90 was 23-10. It's been boosted to 3-1. Dave Kellner here in the studio with the main man, Derek McGovern, on the line right now. Derek, the tournament about to reach its denouement, the conclusion of the Euros, and We were speaking off air about this. I get the feeling you think it can't come, or it hasn't come quickly enough, Derek.
Oh, God. It's been the worst tournament since Indoor League. Jesus, I've never seen anything like it. The France-Germany game, the semi-final on Thursday night, marginally entertaining. As for the rest, it was like... I don't know, it was like a Vauxhall Conference League tournament. It was just, it was unwatchable most of the time. And it just shows you all these vast rewards these players get nowadays. But are they any, apart from like a handful of true superstars, are they any better than players were when you were getting 10 bob a week in the 60s? I don't think so.
Let's talk about those semi-finals then, Derek. Start with your analysis of Portugal versus Wales. Portugal coming through 2-0 in the end, and the dream over for Wales, and on the back of that, Derek, everyone was talking as if Wales had obviously a great achievement for Wales, but there's been a lot of press about Wales's achievements in this championship.
Yeah, amazingly so, because they're the only team that England and Portugal managed to beat. You know, couldn't have been that good a tournament for them, and they're out now, and that's it wrecked a bit of Andy. Remember, we read about their midfielder Andy King bidding to complete the most unlikely of all trebles, helping Wales to victory in the Euros, helping Leicester to the title, and riding Fine Avon in the 1967 Grand National. Quite incredible treble. I mean, you know, Chris Coleman is in the running for the England job now, like he'd won it. You know, why on earth would he want to take over England? I think that the press they've got has been a little bit over the top. That said, who would have thought they'd got to the semi-final? You know what? In a way, I say that, but at the beginning of the tournament, I was writing in the mirror, I was saying in these bulletins that this tournament is wide open for a surprise because there isn't an outstanding team. And what we've seen over the last 4 weeks has proved that there is not an outstanding team. France are in the final on home territory, as a lot of people expected. Well, in fact, it's 1998 all over again, isn't it, Dave? Because France are in the final of a major tournament on home territory, and we're wondering if Ronaldo will turn up this time. Remember, he didn't in 98,
yeah,
in there. So and against a Portuguese-speaking nation. So I see France winning this comfortably. If you're looking at this game, I'm surprised, you know, that they're evens to win in 90 minutes, because I think that's a stonking bet, and I know you don't. So I'm prepared to. Come on, put them up.
Here we go, Derek. Extra day's rest for Portugal. Does that matter?
Well, yeah, I suppose it does. I suppose, you have to say it does. But, I mean, they played on Thursday night, they played on Sunday. It's still 3 days to get over it, isn't it? And, you know, we've seen that so often in the past. Yeah, you know, they've had an extra day's rest, therefore they've got all the advantage, and 3 days later they'll get pummeled. I'm not really sure at this top level. 2 days, definitely. If it was a two-day turnaround, I'm a big believer in opposing teams on a two-day turnover. But 3 days... No, I'm not that bothered.
And you were talking about not seeing an outstanding team in the tournament. France were good in that semi-final on Thursday night against Germany. But remember, Germany were missing the spine of their team in that match. No Mats Hummels, no Sami Khedira, no Mario Gomez in that clash.
Well, and firstly, hold on a second.
Come Gomez on, they were dominated in that first half, Derek.
Gomez is not the spine of the German team. He hardly gets a game. And Khedira is one of the lesser lights in the midfield, to be honest. I've hardly noticed him this tournament, Sami Khedira. Hummels, I'll give you that one. But he's a centre-half, big deal. No, I'm not having that. And you're right. I was surprised at how much possession Germany had in that first half. But in the second half, I thought France were great. I really did. And I'm looking at the French side, and I had any doubts about them at the start of the tournament. But they've got players who, you know, if they come over to the Premier League, for instance, Pogba, maybe Griezmann, but he probably won't come. I mean, they'd light up the Premier League. And they've got a manager who seems to know what he's doing. I think it's an absolute gift, even money for the French.
Do you think they have got a manager who knows exactly what he's doing in Didier Deschamps? Because I was very surprised by his team. I think they got lucky in that semi-final. I really do, with Germany's injury problems. And I thought they were fortunate in the game as well. You look at how Germany dominated possession. I know they didn't create that much, but I think that was more down to Germany than the incredible French defence. I was surprised that N'Golo Kanté didn't play in that game, and he stuck with the same team that played against Iceland, because they were overrun in midfield.
Well, you know, sometimes that can happen. And then, you know, second half, it changes round, and that's a sign of a good manager. You look what happened in the European Cup final when Liverpool were there, of course. You know, that is a sign. It's not the sign of a bad manager if they're getting overrun in the first half. It's a sign of a good manager if he manages to turn it round. I'm all over Dave Johns. I think he's been tremendous this tournament. Yeah, maybe the big surprise was Kante didn't come on earlier.
Yeah.
Because I thought Paye was a little bit pedestrian. And he has been actually since the group stages, hasn't he? I don't think he's lived up to the promise he showed in those group matches early on. But you know, look, I know collateral form doesn't mean a light, Dave, in football. But sometimes you look at it and you think, see what Portugal did against Iceland. You know, it was a 1-1 draw or something, or 0-0 or something like that. Couldn't break them down when Ronaldo got sniffy about Iceland. You know, who'd have thought he'd have been bad-mouthed and a nation of active geezers? That was a big surprise. And then they draw against them, and then France polish off Iceland in 45 minutes, something global warming hasn't managed to do in 45 years. So, you know, if there's collateral form there, it points squarely to France. I just can't have Portugal winning this tournament, to be honest, because I think they've been a disgrace.
They have only won one game in 90 minutes. That was in the semi-final clash against Wales. But that's tournament football, Derek. They've got through these rounds, got through the group stages, qualified for the last 16 or after extra time against Croatia, came through against Poland, beat Wales handily in that semi-final match. I think they're going to win Portugal, I do. And you mentioned Ronaldo, we're talking about Ronaldo turning up, and it was the same back in 98 with Fat Ronaldo. But he was, I mean, that header was outstanding, wasn't it, against Wales? He's an incredible header of a football.
Yeah, he does. I mean, you can't knock him for that. But, you know, he's turned it on for about 5 minutes in six matches, I think it is. And if you're in a European Championship finals, and you get the group that Portugal get, and then you get Poland in the last eight and Wales in the last four. Oh, come on. You know, you've got to get... You know, they haven't done anything to get to this final, basically, have they? They don't deserve to be in there, whereas France do. I mean, I think France have looked tasty all tournament, apart from the first half against Germany. Portugal are there. They've sorted out that their best form of attack is defence. And if they do that against France, they'll get Mullet. Thomas Mullet. I'm all over them.
He had a shocker, didn't he?
What a tournament he had. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
He laid an egg this tournament, didn't he, Tom?
Well, you know, I've always thought that about Moll. I've looked at him and I'm like, what on earth does this geezer do? And nothing. when you get players like that and they're not scoring, they contribute nothing to a team, which is why I've been at these anti Gary Linekers who, you know, get the tap in from 6 yards and then do bugger all the rest of the game. No, I can't have that. There's got to be more to football than that.
And I was talking up Olivier Giroud before the semi-final. He will start in this final, obviously. But I don't know if there's a slower striker on the planet than Olivier Giroud.
There isn't.
Unbelievable.
When you're playing at amateur level or schoolboy level, and you look at your play, and you have a decent team we got here, but there's always one pudding in it, isn't it? There was always one pudding, and that is Giroud. It was one of the reasons I didn't fancy. I was worried about France, and also Germany was the fact that they lacked an out-and-out striker. At least France had Griezmann, but if Giroud can play for them, it did temper my enthusiasm about them. But they don't need him, do they? They're doing it without him, really.
Who are you going for, and what score?
Well, I'm looking at, they're even money to win in 90 minutes, which is big enough for me to do it, to have a go at anyway. But I noticed that they're 6-4. To win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. And given that Portugal will be all out defence, I can't see France banging in a bag full. That looks a nice way of inflating even money to 6-4.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.
Interesting stuff. Now, of course, we lost the Italians at the quarterfinal stage. They went out to the Germans, but we'll have a country file about them anyway. We've done them on everybody else. It's the Italians' turn now. Let's see what Lee Phelps has for us, what interesting nuggets he can find from Italy.
Welcome to Italy, where the first violin appeared in the 1500s. It was probably from the workshop of Andrea Amati in Cremona, and that city later became the home of Antonio Stradivari, the most famous of all violin makers. In northern Italy, last names tend to end in I, while those from the south often end in O. The most common Italian surname is Russo. In Italy, people wear red underwear on New Year's Day. It's seen as a symbol of good luck for the upcoming year. And one place you won't find any tourists in Italy is Poveglia Island. It's forbidden. It was the site of wars, dumping grounds for plague victims, and an asylum. It's considered so dangerously haunted that the Italian government does not allow public access.
There you go. Go to Italy if you want some red pants. Don't go there if you want to see haunted stuff. Thank you very much, Mr. Phelps, for another country file. That one on the Italians. Now, a lot of this podcast so far has been French-based. A lot of the tournament has been French-based. Are people forgetting about Portugal? Maybe. Maybe they are a little bit. Fortunately, Tom Cundert has not, and he joined Mark Walton earlier this week to assess the chances of the Portuguese side against France. I'll hand it over to Mark and Tom now.
Live betting commentary on every second of every game at €0, only on InPlay Radio at William Hill.
Looking ahead to the final of the Euros then, Portugal take on France. Portugal 7-2, the draw 21-10. France are even money. Portugal 15-8 to lift the trophy. France are 4-9. I'm joined on the line by Tom Cundert, who's been giving us the Portuguese perspective throughout the tournament. How are you, Tom?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Really looking forward to Sunday, of course.
Yeah, did you expect Portugal to get this far?
I said for the tournament I had them down to get to the semi-finals, and but I said at the time that if they did do that, I think that would have been a good run. So to be honest, I have to say no. And I don't think many people in Portugal expected them to go to the final. But, you know, now they're there. Who knows? Maybe they can just make that one extra, go that extra step.
Yeah, I mean, coming into the semi-final, rather, they'd not won a game in 90 minutes. Then they go and beat Wales 2-0. Is this a case of Portugal perhaps peaking at the right time in the tournament?
Hopefully, in typical Italy style, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of people have mentioned that that's their kind of modus operandi, isn't it, of Italy, that they tend to not be too impressive at the start of tournaments, just work their way into form and then end up winning the thing. That's why they got a whole lot of silverware, where Portugal have never won anything. And, this is certainly a fantastic chance for them to do it. They'd be huge underdogs, of course. Not least because of the history. Portugal have got a terrible record against France, never beaten them in a competitive match. And I think they've lost the last something like 9 or 10 games straight, all the way back to the 1970s in all games. And of course, France, on home soil, they'd be huge favourites. But, that's sometimes where Portugal thrives.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could go back to Euro 2004, wasn't it, where Portugal were the host. They got to the final, taking on Greece, who weren't fancied. And Greece came out on top of that occasion. So can Portugal draw on that experience and be the underdogs that upset the hosts this time round?
Absolutely, yeah. You just hit the nail on the head there. That's probably the most repeated kind of first thoughts that have been going through everyone's heads here in Portugal, saying exactly that. Maybe we can do exactly what Greece did. Or Portugal can do exactly what Greece did in 2004. Only on this time, the boot would be on the other foot.
So 7-2 in the betting then for Portugal. Would you be backing them on Sunday?
I think they've got a chance. Yeah, I think they've got a chance. It's a one-off game. It's a final. France, I don't think they've been hugely impressive so far. They've looked good, obviously, to get to the final. But, even in the game against Germany, which you could argue, some people have said Portugal got the easy side of the draw, which is true when you look at the fact that Germany and Spain and Italy and France are all on the other side. But if you actually look at the teams played to get to the final, you could argue that Portugal's route hasn't really been much different to France's. France has had one really difficult game, which was obviously yesterday against Germany. And I think anyone watching that game, you'd have to conclude that, it could have gone either way, really. France didn't, although they ended up winning 2-0 for most of that game. I think they were on the back foot. So, why not?
Let's talk about a few players then as well. Obvious starting point would be Cristiano Ronaldo. Had a bit of a an up and down kind of tournament, but it's got a wonderful goal in the semi-final with that header from the corner. Is he going to step up in this final?
Yeah, amazing, wasn't it? The way he just kind of soared and hung in the air. That was a typical Ronaldo-headed goal. Absolutely brilliant. So that's certainly what everyone's hoping. You know, he's he had this reputation, I think, undeserved for many years of kind of, you know, only doing it against a smaller, because a bit of a flat track bully. But, you know, he's done superbly well in lots of big matches for many years now. When Real Madrid won the La Liga, when Barcelona had that fantastic side, still with Pep as the manager, I think he scored about 4 or 5 goals against Barcelona in their games, and including the decisive ones in this tournament. Although he has missed more chances than you would expect. He's not 3 goals, and they've all been really important goals for Portugal. If he hadn't scored them, Portugal probably wouldn't be in the final. So, everyone knows how driven he is just to individually and, you know, to win something for Portugal. He's always said that's his, that's what he's been saying lately, that's his, the one thing which is missing in his career, to win something with his country. So there certainly won't be a more motivated player on Sunday at the Stade France than Cristiano Ronaldo.
74 for Ronaldo to score any time, 92 for him to score first, and 92 for him to score last. Nani's been amongst the goals as well, 18-5 for him to score any time. A lot of people had written Nani off, hadn't they? And he's kind of having a little bit of a renaissance in his career at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I think we've talked about this a couple of times already. He's just really been a revelation this tournament. He was probably the player who was most criticised Portugal player coming into this tournament. A lot of fans thought he didn't really deserve to be a starter, but moving to centre-forward, he's really been a revelation. You know, much more, like I mentioned to you before, he seems to be a much better player when he plays more instinctively. He hasn't got time to think, like when he's on the wing. And it's interesting that, of course, when he scored that goal against Wales in the semi-final, the flash interview after the game, he was asked about his goal, and he actually used that exact word. He said, well, I didn't have much time to think. It was just kind of instinctive. So, yeah, I said before the semi that Nani to score and Portugal to win would be a bet. Hopefully some people took my advice on that one. And in this one, I think Nani, if Portugal do win, I think it would be quite tight. Nani, you've got to fancy Nani or Ronaldo to get the winning goal if it's just by a one-goal win. Both of them have scored 3 goals this tournament. Nani's actually been involved in 4, scored 3 and got an assist for 1. So, yeah.
I'll just spin through some of the enhanced odds here as well, because they involve both Cristiano Ronaldo and Nani on the Portuguese side of things. Ronaldo to score and Portugal to win in 90 minutes. That was 92. That's been enhanced to 6-1. Cristiano Ronaldo to score, Portugal to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. That was 13-2. That's now 8-1. And then we've also got Nani to score, Portugal to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. He's 12-1, having been 11-1. And finally, Nani to score, Portugal to win and both teams to score. That was 18-1. And that's now a 20-1 shot there in those enhanced odds markets. Any of those stand out to you, Tom?
Yeah, that Ronaldo one, definitely. I think Ronaldo to score and Portugal to win by 1 goal, maybe 1-0. Because, of course, we have to remember that if there's a penalty, there's only one man in Portugal who's on the Portugal side who's going to take it. So that will be Ronaldo. That also, you know, enhances his chances of getting the winner. That sounds like a reasonable bet to me.
Yeah. All right, then let's finish off with a little bit of a summary. If you just tell us what you think will happen then on Sunday night and what will be our best bets there for.
Okay, well, you mentioned it earlier, 2004 Euro final between Portugal and Greece. And me and everyone in Portugal, of course, is certainly hoping for something similar. And I think it may be because it was a good, entertaining game yesterday between France and Germany, but that was mainly because Germany really came out and attacked France. But I don't think Portugal would do that. They'd be quite content to sit back. And France also haven't looked so impressive when they've had to take the initiative. So I think we might have quite a tight game with just the one goal. And what I'm hoping for, Portugal to hit 1-0 and Cristiano Ronaldo to go down as truly a saint in this country.
Thank you very much, Tom. Good luck, and obviously enjoy it on Sunday night.
Okay, thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.
There you have it.
that just about brings to an end the final punt of Euro 2016. Thank you very much for listening and joining us over the past few weeks. Best of luck with whatever bets you do end up having in France against Portugal. You can hear all of the action live on William Hill's in-play radio, all the betting advice live in play there as well. Some fantastic stuff to look forward to. Enjoy the final, and we'll catch up with you again soon.